If you'll take your bulletin for the responsive reading coming from Psalm 136, hear the word of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who made the great lights.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who made the sun to rule over the day.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to him who made the moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
It is he who rescued us from our foes.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
It is he who gives food to all flesh.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his covenant mercy endures forever.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is Thanksgiving week. On the Christian calendar, we celebrate the incarnation in December. Christmas, celebrating the birth of Christ. We have on the Christian calendar several dates like Easter, Maundy, Thursday, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have Ascension Sunday, celebrating Christ's return to glory, the Son of God's return to glory as a Son of Man and Son of God. In my younger years, I always thought that Thanksgiving, we always celebrated Thanksgiving in the church in which I grew up. Sometimes we had actual service on Thanksgiving Day. But I always thought that was on the Christian calendar, but it's not. I always thought it should be. Still think it should be. If you look at the Old Testament, you will find that there are several feasts of Thanksgiving through the year, but especially in the fall with the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tents, when Israel would build these little booths in their backyards or in the streets or out from Jerusalem or on their rooftops, and they would actually live in those booths. It was remembering when they were in the wilderness and in temporary dwellings. And here they were now, and they had homes and they had wealth, and God had blessed them so much. And it was a time of great thanksgiving, one remembering the wilderness, but looking at where they were now and saying, God has done this. God sustained us in the wilderness, and he sustains us still today. And we give it one day, you know, and we call it it's called a civic holiday in this country. But for us, it's completely different. And I wanted to remind, we take time every year at Christ's Covenant to have a special Thanksgiving Sunday, and praying that on this Sunday, as we worship in Thanksgiving, that it will dominate our week, and that we'll really celebrate through the week as our families gather to feast. But we focus not on some kind of general thanksgiving with each other, but a thanksgiving to God. For he is the one that has wrought this. And so that's the reason for our worship this morning, the difference in the order of our worship. And we'll come back and we'll have the same order of worship this time next year if the Lord tarries. But I pray, it's my prayer this morning, that as we look at Psalm 136 and in this worship, that this will affect, will seriously, profoundly affect our week together. And not only this week of Thanksgiving, but throughout the year. Is our thanksgiving as relentless as His covenant mercy? We have much to cover, and so we come immediately to the psalm before us. First, this was a familiar psalm in Israel. What hymns do you know from memory? Amazing Grace, Rock of Ages, Joy to the World, Holy, 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 Jesus Loves Me, In Christ Alone. There are hymns that are familiar to all of us. Well, this hymn was known to everyone in Israel. If you had been a 12-year-old in Jesus' day, you would have known this psalm. You would have heard it sung often in your family, in the synagogue, and in the great feasts. Psalm 136 is a part of what is called the fifth section of the book of Psalms, the hymn book of Israel. In this fifth section, or this fifth section is called the Hallel. And it takes in Psalms from 107 to 150. Psalm 136, a part of the Hallel, was called the Great Hallel. Hallel is the Hebrew word for praise. Thus, we get the word hallelujah, hallel, and then luyah. And it means praise Yah, or praise Yahweh, or praise Jehovah. Sections of the hallel were sung daily in the temple and synagogue. Psalm 136 was called the Great Hallel. That's what this song was called. This hymn was called the Great Hallel. Do you know what's odd about that? It's odd because the word Hallel does not occur in Psalm 136. It's used frequently in the great psalms of worship all through from Psalm 107 to 150. From 135 to 150, it's just constant before us. But it's not used in this psalm, this song that was known as the Great Hallel. However, Psalm 136 begins with the word yada. Yada means give thanks. Yada, Yahweh, give thanks to God. The poet begins by using this psalm, by this phrase, three times in this psalm, right at the beginning, and opens the last verse of the psalm by using it once more. Let's look at it. Verse 1, give thanks, yada, to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks, yada, to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. And then he leaves off yada, but he comes back to it in verse 26. Yada, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. However, as you read this, you realize that the word yada is assumed in every verse. The author doesn't write it. He didn't have to. It's just assumed. Look at it. Look at verse 4. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. What did he mean? Give thanks Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders. Verse 5. He assumes, yada. Give thanks to him who by understanding. Verse 6. Give thanks to him who spread out the earth above the waters. In other words, it's assumed in every verse. However, as we've got Hallel, we've got this word, give thanks, yada. There's another word that must be understood if we would grasp the powerful meaning of this psalm. It's the Hebrew word, hesed. Hesed occurs in every single verse in this psalm. It's translated steadfast love in the ESV. It's translated love in the NIV. It's translated mercy in the King James Version. Why so many different ways of translation? Because there is no single English word that can translate hesed. It cannot be done. Well, what's it mean? It means a persistent love. Or a persistent mercy. It means a tenacious love or a tenacious mercy. It means a relentless love or a relentless mercy. It means a binding love or a binding mercy. The binding really spoke to me as I looked at it. This is why I chose to use the word covenant mercy in our responsive reading. God has bound himself to his people by a holy, unbreakable love, by a steadfast love. It cannot be broken. Why can't it be broken? Because God made a covenant. He made an oath, and he is bound to his word. He's bound to that oath. It's a covenant sealed by the blood of his own son. That cannot be broken. Do you understand that? That's a covenant with you. That's a covenant with me. It's a covenant with the people of God. It talks in that psalm, he's saying, he goes through all these wonders of God's given. And then he says, for God's covenant love endures forever. That they call this the great praise or the great hallel. Speaks volumes. Well, why is this called the great hallel? It should speak to us. What it's saying is that thanksgiving was a major theme of their worship. They could not worship without giving thanks. We cannot worship without giving thanks. Think about it. Why so frequently? Why was this psalm constant in their families, in their synagogues, in the temple? Well, think about it. They were like us. We tend to take God's blessings for granted. I did it this week. You did it this week. Now we say, we're thankful. If I were to say to you this morning, are you thankful? Yes, I'm thankful. But do we give thanks actually? The frequency of this psalm was a reminder of God's daily, continuous provision. It's easy to take those everyday blessings for granted, to leave them off of our list, to go through the day and never think about the goodness of God. And it surrounds us every second of every day. So is this Thanksgiving list? Question, is this Thanksgiving list familiar to you? Is this a familiar song to you? My father was adamant that his children would not be whiners or complainers. He would say to me, John, if you complain or whine, I'll give you something to really complain or whine about. I heard that 1,000 times. I did not understand what he was doing until I was an adult. He was not just teaching us how to live appropriate lives or thankful lives. He was teaching us theology. When we whine and complain, It flies in the face of God's grace. Whining, complaining is the opposite of giving thanks. At the actual moment of complaining, we are usually bathed. Not usually, we are bathed. I don't care how bad your day is or any second of your day is. I don't care who has died or what has happened. You cannot pick out a moment in your life as God's people, as God's person. You can't pick out a time in your life, a second of your life, when you are not bathed in God's grace. My father was saying to me, John, the Lord's constantly good to you, even though you're a sinner. Thanksgiving should be pouring out of your being, not complaining. He was ready to discipline me because he saw what I was saying was an offense to God. This is all through Scripture, people. You can't get around it. We read it in the New Testament. Look at this morning in the responsive reading. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, what's it say? Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. As you pray without ceasing, you must always come with thanksgiving. And what does he say? In all circumstances, not some circumstances. Look at Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Before you make a request, he says, be thankful. Be thankful. Look at Ephesians 5, 20. It sums it up. I love this phrase. Giving thanks always and for everything. Is that what we do? When we say, oh, yes, John, I'm thankful. Well, let me ask you. So I had to live with this all week long, and I know I'm not doing this. Giving thanks always and for everything? No. I must learn to do that. Thanksgiving should be as familiar to us as breathing. Thanksgiving to God. It should be as familiar to us as eating. I'm convinced when we get home, we will be shocked at how much of our lives were utterly thankless. This was a familiar psalm of thanksgiving in Israel, and God meant it to be a familiar psalm of thanksgiving. Secondly, it was a detailed psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist's gratitude for specific parts of creation were mentioned in detail. Specific victories were listed. We didn't include it in the responsive reading this morning, but if you look on your scripture sheet, you'll see he even listed defeated kings, King of Sion, and there was Og. There's a difference, people, between a general kind of thanksgiving and a detailed rehearsing of his bounty of grace. There's a difference. You know, sometimes when I'm confessing that I'm a sinner and when I'm praying, it's all too easy to just say, Father, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. It's like saying, I'm from Memphis. It's like saying, I'm an American. I'm stating a fact, but I'm unmoved. There's a time, people, to be very specific about our sins. There's a time that I need to be very specific about my sins. To peel away the covers that I conveniently put there to keep specific sins hidden from my own mind. Just so, just like that, it's easy to give a general nod of thanksgiving, like we give a general nod to our sin, I'm a sinner, to give a general nod of thanksgiving in God's direction and remain unmoved. Remember that old hymn? I don't hear it anymore. I hadn't heard it in years. Count your blessings. Remember that? And what does it say? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Where did they get that? He got it from Scripture. It was early December, and two elementary age children, a brother and sister, were going door to door selling mistletoe Their clothes were thin and their coats too light to keep out the cold. They were obviously from a poor neighborhood in town, and they were trying to earn extra money for Christmas. One lady understood their plight immediately and told them that she would be glad to buy their mistletoe, but they must first come inside and share her hot chocolate. She set them on the hearth near the fire and served them hot chocolate and cookies. She said she noticed them whispering to each other. And she asked them, "Is something wrong?" And the little girl said, "Nothing's wrong. No. But these cups match. Do all your cups match?" The lady said she had never, ever in her prayers thanked God that she could buy matching cups and saucers. I love listening to children pray. They tend to thank the Lord for what seems to be the smallest things. I think our Father loves those prayers. This helps us. It helps us to live in perpetual thanksgiving. We start doing that, the smallest of blessings. We develop eyes that see the smallest blessings around us that we usually forget. So it's a familiar psalm. It's a detailed psalm of thanksgiving. Thirdly, it's a comprehensive psalm of thanksgiving. The writer began thanking God for being God. And then he moves through creation. And then he considers their escape, their deliverance from Egypt, and their journey in the wilderness, and then their entrance and settlement into the land God gave them. It was a comprehensive psalm. It made me think this week of the third stanza of that great hymn that became famous when George Beverly Shea sang the hymn in the Billy Graham Crusades. You know the first verse, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Remember we talked hesed? It's an intensive love. It's a covenant love. It's a tenacious love. Well, that's what he's saying here. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to save. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sins. All that's about the love of God, the hesed. But what I want to call your attention to is the third verse. "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." You know, if God's hesed love is like that, then our response has to be like that. If the ocean were filled with ink and the sky was paper, and we began to write of the blessings of God, the mercies of God, just toward one of us, we would drain the ocean dry and run out of paper before the list was done. Wow. That's comprehensive, folks. This psalm is comprehensive. The main phrase of this psalm we've not mentioned. It says, "His mercy," what? "Hesed," his hesed, "endures forever." It won't ever stop. It can't stop. It won't stop in eternity. Martin Luther, before he was converted, he was a priest. And he was always trying to save himself, do enough to be saved. He kept a list. It was a list of his sins. And he would write them down. I mean, there's this long list. It kept on. When a priest saw him coming toward a confessional, they would run. When he singled out a bishop and said, "Would you hear my confession?" they would run away. He would take an entire day in the confessional. Then one day he discovered the blood of Christ. He discovered it is through faith that we're saved. He discovered God's grace. That day, he started a more important list. He knew he had to confess his sin, but there was a better list. A list of God's grace. And the list of God's grace was always longer than his sins. Charles Wesley understood this from Scripture. He wrote all those thousands of hymns, and one of the best was Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Have you ever paid attention to the words? Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. It exceeds it. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater. Yes, grace untold points to the refuge of mighty cross. Dark is the stain we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there's flowing a crimson tide. The blood of Christ, the hesed of God, the covenant love of God is greater and stronger and more powerful than all of our sins. People in heaven, we will no longer confess our sins. The list will be done. Will be done. But we will still be making a list of God's constant hesed love, his constant blessings. We'll still be celebrating with thanksgiving. It's comprehensive. In Psalm 136, 23, we read, to the one who remembered us in our low estate. Give thanks to God, to the one who remembered us in our low estate. The psalm mentions what God was doing for them when times were hard. Most of the time we think about thanksgiving and we think about God's blessings. Thanksgiving when things are good. We tend not to think about blessings and thanksgiving when times are lean. But all of us have come to November, to a time of thanksgiving, and it's been lean. It's been hard. They sang this song daily, in good times and bad. It's comprehensive. They realized it was just as important to give thanks when it was tough. In fact, probably more essential to give thanks when it's tough than when it's good. If we don't stop and give thanks when times are hard, you know what happens? We become complaining. Complaining takes over. Bitterness sets in. Have you ever seen someone just dominated by bitterness? It changes their very face. It changes their very countenance. We think we have no blessings. We would be prone to think that we're deserving of blessings. God, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this to happen to me. Oh, really? When did you stop sinning? When did you stop rebelling against God? Thanksgiving in the darkness keeps bitterness from getting a foothold. Once bitterness begins to grow, it's like kudzu. If it's a sunny day and there's only one cloud in the sky, a bitter person will see the cloud. If it's a sunny, warm day, they talk about how much we need rain. If it's a rainy day, they talk about how we need some sunshine. If they look at a garden, they miss the 1,000 flowers and they pick out the one weed. People, individuals get away with this. I know people get away with this. Well, that's just the way I am. I'm honest. That's what they say. I'm honest. I'm going to tell you what I see. Let me tell you. You will do that person a favor by saying, no, you're not being honest. You're not seeing God's blessings. And it's a sin. And if that describes you this morning, that is sin. You're looking in the face of God and not giving thanks for his blessings. That person is pitiful, is blind, is arrogant, and there's one prescription. Just begin a new list. Get up one morning and say, I'm not going to complain one time today. Not one time. I'm not going to complain one time today. In fact, when I think I'm about to complain, I'm going to thank God for whatever. Make a pact with yourself. You're going to go through the whole day, and you get to the end of the day, say, okay, I'm doing this again tomorrow. And then try it for a week. And you know what? You'll learn a new language, a language you need to learn. It's a biblical language. It's about hesed. A familiar psalm of thanksgiving, a detailed psalm of thanksgiving, a comprehensive psalm of thanksgiving. This is a current hymn of thanksgiving. Just quickly notice the first four verses of the psalm are in the present tense. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks. It's there. It's now. Then all the verbs become past tense as the writer looks back in gratitude and praise. And then at the end, he comes back to the present tense in verses 25 and 26. Who gives food to every creature. Isn't that wonderful? He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. Some of us, as we listed our blessings, we'd make a list completely from the past. It's like where we are currently. It's like God's goodness has been cut off. His grace toward us has somehow stopped. Is God no longer a good God? Is there no more grace? Are there no more blessings? This hymn was current. This hymn was current. What do we say every morning? That's what the psalm was telling us. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He's saying God's mercies are current. And if his mercies are current, our thanksgiving has to be current. Fifthly, so we have a familiar psalm of thanksgiving, a detailed psalm of thanksgiving, a comprehensive psalm of thanksgiving. This was a current psalm of thanksgiving. It was a recorded psalm of thanksgiving. I love this. They wrote it down. It's recorded in Scripture. They wanted to pass it to the next generation. Great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, children, and grandchildren. They all sang this hymn. We did it this morning in our call to worship. This is a traditional Thanksgiving call to worship. We've had it the last 3 years at Thanksgiving. Look at your call to worship in your bulletin. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Why? So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. What are they saying? It is a recorded. It's to be recorded. A psalm of thanksgiving. Do you know where your children will get the lists that they make? They will get them from their parents. What's on your list? Whatever's on your list will be on your children's list. What your priorities will be, those will be your children's priorities. Do you keep a list of complaints? Your children will keep a list of complaints. Is your list just a list of all that you have accumulated? Your children will keep score the same way. People, this list in Psalm 136 is a list we want to keep. You can tell your own story. Israel was writing about their history. You can tell your own story. You can write in your own diary and say, this is why I give thanks. I look back at my parents. I'm thankful for the Methodist minister who spoke to my father when he was in high school about Jesus Christ and he was radically converted. I'm thankful for him. You can make your list. A recorded list of thanksgiving. A familiar psalm of thanksgiving, a detailed psalm of thanksgiving, a comprehensive psalm of thanksgiving, a current psalm of thanksgiving, a recorded psalm of thanksgiving, and finally, and this is a great place to end, this psalm required feasts of thanksgiving. Psalm 136 was sung at the Passover feast. It would be sung at the Feast of Booths, a harvest feast that also remembered the wilderness experience. I'll tell you one story. And we're done. In Nehemiah 8, Israel had returned from their 70 years of exile in Babylon. They were rebuilding in Nehemiah 8. They were rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. For the first time in 70 years, they were celebrating the Feast of Booths. They were making this great celebration. And Ezra and Nehemiah had thousands of people gathered in the city square to hear the reading of the law about the Feast of Booths. And when the people heard what was being read, what did they do? Did they shout and say hallelujah? No, they wept. They were in contrition. They said, we haven't heard this. We hadn't had a Feast of Booths for 70 years. We've been disobeying God. And they wept. And what did Nehemiah say to them? Verse 9 and then verse 10. This is what Nehemiah, pretend you're there and you're weeping. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You cannot live a thankful life and not feast. We have feast built into our lives every day. We sit down at a table every breakfast, and we say a prayer. And what do we? Thank you, Father. It's a feast with a small F, but it's a feast. We need to get back to that every day, continue. But he said there's greater feasts. God's people in the Old Testament were known to be a people of thanksgiving and feasting. They were known for that. That almost sounds alien to us as Christians. It almost sounds like, no, that can't be. Folks, think of what they didn't know and what we know. The Messiah has come. The Son of God and Son of Man has come. Christ has died for our sins, has risen, and is reigning in glory. His church has grown to the ends of the world. If they were giving thanks in Nehemiah's day, if they were feasting in Nehemiah's day about the goodness of God, what should our feast look like? This Thursday, point your children to what you're thanking God. And this is a feast in honor of God. A feast celebrating God and all that He's done and His goodness. Here sits before us not what we've accomplished, but what God has done. We need to learn to be a thankful people. And when we're a thankful people, we will be a feasting.